Let me tell you about Scott Cooneth. He's a guy you want to be with. No, 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 not without. When you're looking to sell a house, same goes if you're buying. Don't even start trying if Scott's not in your corner. Oh, don't say that I didn't warn ya. He knows real estate so well, he could write the manual. He works for Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. Scott Cooneth is absolutely essential if you're buying or you're selling residential. Oh, 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 Scott Cooneth. Call him 248-797-7746. You're just the person he'd love to get an email from. SKUNNATH at CBWM.com. Scott Cooneth, yeah.
Scott Cooneth.
Yeah.
Brings you the best of the Drew and Mike show, and he is the rising star, Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. They don't have that in the song, do they? I don't think.
Oh, well, he didn't win the rising star until after the song was made.
Can't he do a dance mix version? This is the rising star factor.
Scott wants to pay.
Oh, why won't anyone give me an award?
Love that drop.
Scott's doing very well. Allegedly two listings from our audience just recently. It is that time of year. If you want to recommend somebody or refer somebody to Scott Cooneth. Hell, how do you have kids or nephews or nieces who are just getting into the home buying process? 248-797-7746, S. Cooneth, CBWM. And I wanted to mention, I meant to talk about this yesterday, that the Aston Martin from Goldfinger is for sale.
Yeah, cool. Ooh.
Wow.
This just gets cooler and cooler.
How about that?
First of all, it's fully restored. I remember having a matchbox of the Aston Martin.
Oh. Cool.
And it had the bulletproof thing that came up out of the front of the car, I think.
It did?
Yes.
Wow.
And also had the thing that supposedly shot bullets that came out of the bumper.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was really cool.
What exotic matchbox did you?
I don't know where it is now, but
who's selling this?
The whoever owns the Aston Martin. This is the third private owner of the Aston Martin.
What?
Nothing.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Nothing.
R.M. Sotheby's, the auction house.
Yeah, they're selling it for this guy, and they're expecting to get around $4 million. The car fully restored. It does still have the 30 caliber machine gun in each fender.
Nice.
It operates.
It does.
Yes. It also has the wheel hub-mounted tire slashers.
What?
Revolving license plates, smoke screen dispensers, telephone in the door, and hidden compartments, and all of them work, allegedly.
Okay, it will sell for $4 million easily then.
Wow. Well, what's that stupid Mustang worth?
The one that was in the guy's barn?
Bullet.
Yeah.
No one's allowed to sit in it?
Bullet really just is a fast car.
Only six people have ever driven it, though it's gone here, there, and everywhere, and somehow...
We did the math and busted them.
Yeah, it's at least like 500 people have driven the car.
Did you see
we've counted.
Did you see the other thing that's up for auction, the Babe Ruth jersey?
Oh, yeah.
They expect it to be the most expensive piece of baseball memorabilia.
It's his last one?
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh?
No,
must be his last Yankee one.
It was with the Boston Braves, I think.
Was that on the nightly news, Trudy?
Yeah, last night. The granddaughter is selling it.
The granddaughter is selling it, but the grandson, I don't know why he's along for the ride in the interview. It's really, he adds nothing. Let me see if I can find it. I think Drew will appreciate it.
Was he keeping her company, maybe? Holding her hand because she was nervous?
I don't remember him, I guess.
Should they have cut him out of the shot?
Yes. It was Lester that talked to him. I'll have to find it.
I just remember her. She looked a lot like Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Of course, she still uses the Ruth name.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean,
no.
Why not?
It's not her name.
You were Mark Ruth?
No, kind of cool. Bambino!
It is. Babe Ruth is one of those things that just lives.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of great players in that period that no one would even know who they were, but. He was so mythic.
Yep. I thought it was cool because he was just like smoking cigars and drinking like a fish and batting like
banging chicks, just drinking up a storm.
And he was really good, and he could run.
He also loved kids. He always went to hospitals and visited kids, and he was very kind of a grown up kid. Mm-hmm. It sounded like, and he was an abandoned child. He grew up in an orphanage in Baltimore, so there was a lot to love about Babe Ruth.
Yeah,
and the first time he hit. Well, he was a pitcher who led the league in home runs playing every fourth day. I think he hit 18 home runs or something. Nobody else had more than 9.
Wow.
And then when he played every day, he hit 40 or 50, and the second place person had like 12.
A giant in stature.
Versus hurling.
Talent and charisma.
The immortal star himself, Babe Ruth.
He's just part of the American fabric. He's iconic.
Now a piece of that fabric is up for auction. The Bambino's grandchildren offering up one of Ruth's last surviving jerseys. And with the Yankee legend's name stitched into the collar, it could become the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold.
There was one sold some years ago that is currently the world record, and that's just around $4.5 million.
Wow.
You've already seen the grandson twice. He's done nothing.
Game-worn cleats and an autographed baseball are on the block. Here in the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium, pride and a little sadness. Again.
It took me 2 years to decide to do this. It's kind of like saying goodbye to family.
Well, then why are you doing
the same
it.
Way?
Here he is.
There's a certain reluctance, certainly, in letting these things go.
Oh, that's
but
why.
Also
that's
all some added. Relief.
And I can terribly sleep reluctant. At night because I'm not afraid somebody's going to hit me over the head to steal them.
Do you have it in your house?
An icon who holds many of baseball's records to this day. Now poised with this old jersey to break one more. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Yankee Stadium.
Wow. You learned a lot there, huh?
He really phoned it in.
Kevin Tibbles?
Well,
a reporter, he totally phoned it in. That's an easy story to phone in, though.
I don't know why the grandson was there. Stupid.
I don't know. He wanted a free trip.
Is the money half his? Is that why he's there?
I don't know.
I get up the money. I get to be part of the interview.
Well, why was it
you
at her house?
You talked more than I did.
Possessions in 9/10 the law.
I mean, I would really like to know why he was involved, because there's got to be some reason. Like, well, it's half mine.
I don't.
I bought this new suit. Why are you doing all the interviews? You know, it's something like that.
Well, there's all the evidence she needs.
Haven't most of his records been broken, aside from OPS and slugging percentage?
Yeah,
but he's so dominated his era more than anyone has dominated an era.
Plus his pitching. He was 98-46 with a 2.28 ERA.
Why are you trying to kill Babe Ruth?
I'm not. Shohei Ohtani's doing that right now, too.
He won 3 games in the 1918 World Series, too.
Yeah, did Ohtani do that?
Oh, no. He hasn't even pitched this year.
I think his ERA was like 0.98 or 1.13.
I mean, Babe Ruth didn't play.
I have no dog in this fight. I don't remember Babe Ruth.
I mean, Babe Ruth only played against white people. Yeah, ain't a lot of black people that play baseball.
It wasn't his fault.
No, I know. Just,
he would have dominated any league.
I don't know, Hispanic.
So. I don't know. He still only won one MVP.
He was kind of Mags-like. He's big but athletic.
There was a rule back then you
were
not allowed to win back-to-back MVPs.
Oh, there was?
What? Yes. You're not allowed to.
What a stupid rule that is.
It's a really, really dumb rule. No, he still should have won more than one.
Well, I never thought of comparing Mags to Babe Ruth before, but it makes sense.
Don't.
Because if Mag was in the Papillon League, if they played baseball, he would be a dominant home run hitter. Very athletic, but he wouldn't have a lot of stolen bases like the Babe.
Who's Layla then? Ty Cobb?
Yeah, she could be Ty
fast,
Cobb.
Kind of fast.
She'd steal a lot of bases. She'd sort be a leadoff hitter. She'd get on base a lot.
Georgia Peach. She's really racist.
She'd cover a lot of ground in center field.
He was pretty racist. She's kind of racist.
There were some other gossip items that we never had a chance to get to, like Wendy Williams, who has a 27-year-old boyfriend.
Whoa, she really snapped back at that ex of hers.
Just out of prison, by the way.
Oh, Wendy,
did a 2-year stint for armed robbery, but he's a graphic artist. And she's flown him in, and apparently he's staying with her in New York now.
So, great guy.
Did she hire him to be her manager now, too?
Yeah, he seems to me like a perfect candidate to steal her money, just like the last guy.
He made a comment about her today, her ex.
I know. He's such
did you see
a
that comment?
Dope. Yeah, I...
Let me see if I can find
it. I think he's trying to suggest that, we're going to get along fine.
No, he says
his son beat the shit out of me, and I got a baby with somebody else. But
so Kevin Hunter Sr. Says, so she claimed that he kept her put away at home, wouldn't let her out
Do
anything.
Right.
So he said that's a lie and that she was just too lazy.
No,
was cooped up only to be a show pony. That's what she said.
I'd never heard that she was kept away or she was... Who said that? I never heard that anywhere.
She said that.
She said that?
Yeah.
Well, it's awkward for her to be out.
Yeah. I mean, she does work
she want.
Hard.
But he said she was too lazy to go out.
Wait, he was talking about...
Wendy.
Wendy. Oh, I thought he was talking about his girlfriend.
Oh, no. She's out. They go on vacation to Florida. Yeah. And they bought a big house in Jersey. And they got a baby. And
you'd think it would Rolls be opposite. Royce.
I know. It's... Absolutely. He sounds like such a jackass. He made all his money off her. He managed her. He's produced the show with her. So he can go back to being a zero after he spends the money he gets from her, which she will. She'll have to pay him a lot of money, which is it just doesn't seem right. But
wait, what state is that? Isn't it New York? Don't they have more liberal attitudes about spousal?
Usually liberal states are very generous when it comes to spousal support. Like California is unbelievable. Half what you make in during a marriage, bye. And I know I have one friend who was married 10 years, and at the 10-year mark, oh boy, if the spouse doesn't work, you want to make it 10 years. Yeah. He owes her a lot of support a long, 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 long time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, unless she remarries, but she's never going to remarry because otherwise she's cut off. So it ain't going to happen. Then there was the Ariana Grande was singing Thank You Next, her ode to all the boys she's loved before. And she couldn't sing Mac Miller's name because she got so emotional.
Next.
Wasn't she in his home state?
Yeah, she was in Pittsburgh, his hometown. So stupid. And even though she dumped him and was engaged to someone 6 weeks later and was talking about how big his dick was publicly. She loved Mac Miller so much.
Can she sing it in New York where Pete's from?
Next.
Maybe. I think she's been able to sing so far, but apparently being in his hometown. And I guess when she pointed out how big her fiance's penis was 6 weeks after they broke up, I guess she was crying then too. So she's in trouble getting that out. So I guess there's some consistency there. I think she was crying when she licked the donuts, too, or maybe she wasn't. I don't know. She's such a dope.
Yeah.
She's such a complete dope. Yeah. How much more can she milk Mac Miller?
It's really crazy how attached she still is to him.
Does anyone else point out that she's milking this thing?
Oh, yeah. She got really mad when Instagrammers told her that she was milking it. Remember she went off on him?
On what basis?
Hey, Brandon, Google Ariana Grande milked.
If I was in his family, I would not want his name coming out of her mouth.
Can you put a moratorium on that?
It's a top story.
It's probably pretty hard to do. It'd be nice. I wish it could.
Ariana Grande reacts to people that say she milks Mac Miller's death.
Wow.
Will she start crying and milk it more?
Yeah.
Does she have a new boyfriend?
I pray you never have to deal with anything like this ever, and I'm sending you peace and love.
Fake.
What, dumping somebody and then having a fiance within 6 weeks and talking about their big dick?
Getting tattoos of them all over your body.
Yeah, 12 tattoos.
Oh, wow. The original person that had gave her shit, his account is suspended.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
The power of
what did he say?
I don't know. It's deleted now.
Yeah, of course.
Some of the shit I read on here makes me sick to my stomach. It scares me the way that some people think. I don't like this world a lot of the time.
She wants to be off the earth like Pete Davidson? Do we need people to intervene? Do we need John Cryer to get an update?
If only we could be more compassionate and gentle with one another, that'd be sick.
Oh, that'd be sick. Oh, like when you lick the donuts? Can we play her donut licking apology again? I can't get enough of that. I thought she was so sincere. If you missed it, Ariana Grande in a donut shop just started licking donuts that were available to purchase because she doesn't like America, I think. Isn't that
the reason? Something about
I understand the rationale there.
I just wanted to make a video to apologize again for the whole donut.
Oh, can we hear the first one where she doesn't really apologize?
Because I feel like.
Is there a first one? Because she said, I just want to apologize again. Maybe that is it. Maybe she apologized.
Yeah, I thought that was it. Maybe she put out an apology.
No, she was so sincere. I would rather watch this one anyway.
To apologize again for the whole donut fiasco craziness. Because I feel like the apology that I posted, I kind of missed my opportunity to actually sincerely apologize and express how I was feeling because I was too busy preaching about my issues with the food industry, which is relative.
Oh, I see. Her issues with the food industry were part of this?
I expressed myself in a different way. So here I am apologizing again. I've actually never been prouder to be an American, to be honest,
fake,
with the advances that we've made in the past
couple months. After you licked the donuts, you've never been prouder.
All the wonderful progressive things that have been going on, I've never been prouder.
What's that dude licking donuts, you bitch?
Seeing a video of yourself behaving poorly that you have no idea was taken is such a rude awakening.
Her privacy was invaded.
Don Sterling concurs.
That you don't know what to do. I was so disgusted with myself. I shoved my face in a pillow and wanted to disappear. But
I'm
going to come forward and own up to what I did and take responsibility. And
well, that was bold.
Say, I'm sorry, because I reacted in a way that I feel
sorry.
Necessary, okay, to say the least, but also wasn't me at all.
It wasn't necessary.
I apologize
for
my choice of words and for my behavior.
Such a stupid remark.
Seeing how ugly it looks when you behave a certain way makes you want to never behave that way again.
Oh, that's powerful.
I made a mistake and I'm being judged for it, which I understand.
Because you're not being judged for it.
I'm just as disappointed and...
it's a terrible nightmare.
So,
don't you love
it
when people over apologize? It really
100%.
Means they're extra sincere.
They're trying to wear us out.
I'm human. Jesus. I still got a lot to learn, and I make mistakes, and that's how I'm going to learn.
She looks great.
Really, by licking donuts.
I know.
That's so beyond the fact that she would even bring up her comments about the food industry. So it was a protest of some kind, well, I take it?
There's one thing I knew about Ariana Grande is that she has always been very outspoken about the food industry.
Yeah.
No, she has never said anything about the food industry.
There's no excuse whatsoever. It was just, it shows that she's an idiot.
Yeah.
Just a total idiot.
Wouldn't that be a better apology? Look, I'm sorry.
I'm just an idiot.
It was a stupid mistake.
I'm lacking in brain power. I happen to have a really good voice, and so I'm one of those.
Hot.
I'm one of those dumb millionaires of 2019.
She is hot.
The part about that I didn't know anybody was videotaping me. I think that's the part that bums her out the most.
I think she was suggesting their privacy was invaded.
Right. That we'd be better off if no one knew that she licked the donuts.
Yeah. Somebody could eat the
donuts. I don't accept your apology.
Did you guys see that Mariah Carey, I don't know why this came up, but this affair with the backup dancer, she was sending nude pictures and semi-clothed pictures.
In another room?
Yeah, while James Packer was, she was on his yacht, billionaire James Packer. And there's another one of her on the boat grinding on the backup dancer while James Packer is, sleeping.
Packing on the pounds.
Yes, apparently.
Nice.
Why was she with this total slob?
A billionaire.
By the way?
Did you see the pictures attached to this? She
no.
Yeah, she looks great.
Really, really good.
I agree. I always thought she was sexy.
Oh, yeah.
She gets a little chubby sometimes.
Except for that time Clark said she had diarrhea and she was going fetal, remember?
Oh, when she
was exhausted.
When she went nuts?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little unflattering.
I'm trying to find the specific picture.
The one in the bikini was,
she
looked really thin there, too.
Yeah, it's like dropped a whole bunch of weight.
But this guy gave her $50 million when they split, like, an inconvenience fee or something. I never understood. Why is he paying her?
To make her go away. He's a multi-billionaire.
But wait, she...
Wow, she looks good there.
She got a bunch She's got a bunch of number one hits. What does she need $50 million for from him?
Away.
Yeah, I think Mark's got onto something there, the go-away fee.
Yeah,
which she wouldn't go away otherwise?
Maybe
she can't go be Mariah Carey without $50 million. No, she had a $10 million ring he gave her, too.
She's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's expedient to just do that.
Kind of felt like he was the idiot for giving her money. Why would he give her money?
She's the Gen X version of Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Wow, those are, she looks great.
She
looks,
I know, she
really
looks good.
I gotta say, that's a really dumb pose, but it's a good
hell of a body.
She's really inspired by this guy.
The dancer?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're a great couple.
She looks messed up in there.
Yeah, she was probably drunk.
Nice.
Amanda Knox going to Italy?
Noxy!
She's going to murder someone?
Yeah, why is she going there, and why do we care?
Because there's a victim support group that she's going to to.
No, no, no. She's going there to rub it in the face of Italy.
Oh, is
and
she?
The victim can't possibly get support without Amanda Knox going back to Italy, where she was jailed for acting like an idiot after someone was murdered, basically.
That's really all she's guilty of.
She was doing, remember she was doing cartwheels at the police station? They're like, yeah, this woman's dead. She was in your apartment, and was she a roommate?
Yeah. Yeah. Madeline Kirchner.
And so, you know, we have a very important interview. And she's like, okay, I'll just be out here doing cartwheels and making out with my boyfriend.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Do you remember that there was a dump in the toilet, too, in the crime scene photos?
Oh,
really?
Yes.
I forgot about that.
There was a dump in the toilet. What a real good one.
Do they not flush there?
Is it identified as Amanda Knox's?
What a monster. Yeah, she took a big dump and didn't flush it.
Gross. That's, I could see her doing crime. That. I really could. And by the way, she posted a picture of her like climbing up a mountain, peeking over the top, like,
oh, she's so deep.
That had something to do with her going to Italy. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah, it was really so stupid. Like, we're all so interested and concerned about this.
Is she going over there for a retap?
Maybe. I don't know.
Raffaele.
That was interesting that guy, they never were together again after they both got out of jail. Wouldn't you have thought that would have been something there, maybe?
Well, I know their love was so strong. They're making out.
Making out. Yeah. I mean, like if...
she's so out of his league.
I don't think she's that hot.
Oh, you think he's hot?
I never bought the Foxy Noxy thing.
Oh,
no, I don't think he's hot.
Come on, really? Brandon,
I think she's that hot? Is she really that hot?
Was she hot, Brandon?
I'm sorry. I've been focused on finding this turd. I found the turd.
There it is.
Nice work, Brandon.
Told you.
Amanda Knox's stool.
Well, it might not be hers. I don't know if they tested it for DNA.
Maybe she claimed it because it was big.
Okay, but in regards...
It's not very
that's
big.
Mine.
Though.
That's mine.
I can do better than that
just
one.
For the record, it's nothing to do with the case, but that was my...
Like you guys said I left...
...dump in that toilet.
That vegan on the boner line. The other
I left it there for the girl that's dead to look at, but she was murdered, so she never got to see it.
It's one of those jokes roommates play on each other. You guys said I didn't have any...
It would have been the last thing she ever saw before she died, but unfortunately, it didn't wear out that way.
Nice police. You guys said there was no DNA of mine at the scene. You didn't look in the shitter.
I like her with long hair.
Thanks for not flushing it.
I don't like her with short. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Nowadays, she looks gross. But back then, she was... Very important phone call coming in upstairs.
From McKinney, Texas.
Oh, cool.
The hell?
Oh, my God.
Look at that one on the right, up at the top. She looks good there.
Thanks for taking the picture of the dump, too. I used a lower resolution camera. Your picture's better than mine. If I can get the... If I could just get the negatives, I'd appreciate it.
Why is it so weird?
I'll add it to the Foxy Noxy dump collection.
I mean, honestly, why is there a dump in the toilet?
I don't know.
No one was there. I mean, well, Kirshner was, I guess. She could have taken
it. They don't put enough water in their bowls.
No.
Yeah, because that stool is hanging out of the water, and everybody knows when the stool hangs out, it smells.
Wait a sec. It's slowly coming back to me. Didn't Knox come home and take a shower? Like when Kirshner's dead body was there? Because she didn't realize that she was there. Or am I confusing my stories? Because maybe...
I don't remember
maybe she
exactly.
took the dump, took the shower, didn't want to flush it to ruin the water pressure or the heat.
No, she wanted to leave it for her roommate to see. No, that was testified against. That's one piece of testimony that's not in any doubt whatsoever.
Well, then she could be the murderer.
Everyone agrees about that. That's the only thing they all agree on.
We didn't even need to enter it into evidence. Uncontested. Everyone knew. Yeah.
That actually probably got her off, right? Because if she wanted her to see it, she obviously wouldn't want to kill her.
What is that picture, Brandon? Why are you just finding toilets with dumps in them now?
So the Amanda Knox stool is actually pretty hard to find. But luckily for you, I will tell you what to Google. Amanda Knox crime scene photos toilet.
Yep.
And if you scroll down a little bit, you will see that stool.
Wow.
Sweet.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Are you amazed that more people, when they see photos of things on TV, don't look and see what's in the toilet? Remember what? Who was it? Fifi LaRue. I think there was a dump in his toilet too.
You can always. Fifi LaRue.
Yeah, there was a dump in his toilet.
Wait, why was
Fifi LaRue the gothic killer clown of rock and roll?
Why was his bathroom in a picture?
Oh, because that's also his.
It's his recording studio.
The booth for him to record vocals in.
Yeah.
Ugh. And he left a dump in the toilet while he's recording.
Gross.
You must like
there's
the way
kids out there. They love this stuff.
The way the sound bounces off his turds.
Supposedly, he took the dump while he was in there, and he wanted the backup, sent the backup, said, I want the backup singers in the bathroom, too. He wanted them to check it out.
A rock and roll!
And then MTV Cribs came in and did a thing, and oh my God, there's a dump in the toilet. And they were so worried about it, but he was happy. He figured, oh, the whole nation gets to see it. That's great. It's my work.
It's really funny.
Wow.
Did you hear Chris Brown is still trolling Karrueche Chan?
What? He's also coming to town.
Oh, great.
You didn't see they sent out the thing today about...
I'm sure he'll sell out immediately.
A pre-sale for the summer 2019 Chris Brown presents Indignat Tour featuring... So I don't know, is he on this show or is he just presenting the show?
Who knows?
No, it's him. He's the main guy.
I'm sure he'll do very well with it. He's a great guy.
Along with Ty Dolla $ign. Why do we know that name?
He was... Ty Dolla... I only know Ty Dolla because...
And I hate that we have to call him Dala.
There was a catfish where some underling of his had a control of his accounts and was like, hey, baby, how you doing? Somebody loved Ty Dolla. And he's answering like he's Ty Dolla and, you know, sending all these pictures and catfishing for like 2 years. And so finally, you know, they want to meet Ty Dolla. Oh, Ty Dolla really wants to meet this fan so bad. He's in love with her and all this. It turned out it was his nephew who ran his social media, and he was a total asshole.
That's great.
And nobody seemed terribly apologetic about it either. Like, hey, that's what you get, you know.
Ty Dolla looks like Fab from Milli Vanilli.
He does.
Huh. He's got green eyes, just like Fab.
Except for that tattoo on his neck that says Dolla $ign. Did you get one that says Lane on your neck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winner. Anyway, Karrueche Chan was his girlfriend. He started threatening anyone who was rumored to be dating her. Mm-hmm. He would just say, you know, I'll fuck you up. He wanted to fight some guy who was going to fight him back. Classy. But then his mother died. And then she wanted a restraining order. I don't know if she got a restraining order in the end. It seemed to me they were giving her a hard time about it. Like, you don't need a restraining order. Chris Brown's a great guy.
Mm.
Is he physically intimidating? I know he's, you know.
That's a good question. I mean,
violent, but
well, he definitely seems to like weapons.
In February of 2017, a 100-yard restraining order was issued for 5 years.
Okay. Well, he doesn't really care about the 5-year stuff. I mean, the probation.
Anything.
Remember, he was on probation for beating the shit out of Rihanna, and he got in fights left and right after that. So I don't know how this guy stays out of jail, to be honest. But and then that girl said she was held hostage at his house.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't give her phone back. They wouldn't let her leave. And he was taunting the LAPD from his house. I mean, it was just the dumbest effing story. He's always right.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, here's his one restraining order, and she dumped him 5 years ago, and he's trolling. She's taken some pictures, I guess, posted with her guy she's seeing, and Chris Brown is talking about what a crappy dresser he is. He's posting
that'll get her.
You know, he needs some style tips, and I'm not upset or anything. I just want to help him out.
What an asshole!
I know he's such a prick. But boy, he's got it bad for this chick. I feel bad for any chick. I can't believe that women are so want him so badly, like this chick he nailed in France that
she
raped her and then apparently just had sex with her.
They just had a hearing and he didn't show up. Not that he had to, but I guess most people usually show up.
Oh, usually. But if you have 50 hearings a year, maybe you skip a couple.
Wow, what a douche.
You know, he's such a dope.
Please upgrade your man, boo. That's what he wrote.
I know. Absolute a-hole. No, I mean, shade. We know what's going on. Oh, yeah. You're jealous. Sorry. Can't have her anymore.
He looks like he's shopping of the mannequin and trying to bargain with the sales manager.
Clever.
Retired wrestler Spanx. Wow. Good one.
It really said
Doesn't
it all.
Doesn't he realize he loses by commenting on her and her new man? Because it shows that he cares?
I don't think, no, I think he thinks that it's funny and he's cool because he's telling the world what a loser this guy is she's with.
No, but it doesn't, but Trudy, doesn't it really show that he just can't get over her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Totally. No, he's completely stuck on her. He has a restraining order and he's putting her boyfriend down on social media, on her posting on her post.
It's the worst.
No, what a, just a dope. So anyway, the best of this week is brought to you by Scott Kunis, Scott Kunis. And if you want to call Scott, if you have any desire to list your house, sell your house, or you want someone to evaluate your house, or you want to refer someone to Scott Kunis, the Coldwell Banker, Weir Emanuel, he is the rising star. Call him at 248-797-7746 or text him at 248-797-7746. That's Scott.
I think Brandon might have found my new favorite Instagram page. What in the hell are you looking at?
This was texted in on the boner line just a couple minutes ago, and it's called, the guy said, dude, you guys got to check out Women Eating Bananas Instagram page.
Hot.
So exactly what it sounds like.
I've just been scrolling through, and there's thousands of pictures.
Well, sexually eating bananas.
Juvenile.
Where are some of the women?
Wow.
They're not wearing riveting clothes.
I know. It's all called terrible style on that one.
You can email Scott Kunath at S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at C-B-W-M. I'm glad he got to be combined with Women Eating Bananas Instagram page. I'm sure it could help business. Scott's happy to text with you. He'll get you back in a timely manner. He does this in the show, too, so he can talk in drops. And we've had great success with people who work with Scott, and he's enjoyed it, and they've enjoyed it. And you need to spend time with a realtor, so you might as well spend time with somebody who is also a listener. And speaks in drops.
Look at that gross, that chick eating that banana, and someone's very upset in the comment section because that's a plantain! It's not a banana.
Look at the green blobs on her. Yeah. Jeez.
I thought it was just an overripe banana. That
I guess it's a plantain.
That would not be as sexually exciting.
Why don't they drop her from the page? That should be,
She
should be next.
She's not following the rules.
On the best of tattoos being the new norm. Mm-hmm. We spent 9 minutes on that topic. And then, I got a physical and a ticket. I forgot that those things were combined. And it's another interview with Dustin Diamond. The last one before he had so much trepidation when he was performing in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. This is why he was so upset, because I'm curious what people say about it. I thought he was really untenable. I mean, just a lousy. I couldn't understand what was going on with this guy. But Mike and I managed to last a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes with him. And then there was some lengthy after discussion, a lot of phone calls. And yes, the Dustin Diamond story continues on the best of Drew and Mike. I've had an eventful 24 hours. I got pulled over on the way.
You did?
I went to Mesa to get takeout, and I was leaving Mesa on Woodward, and I got pulled. I saw the lights, and I was like, and I thought, because I was dicking around with the radio, I thought, am I warbling all over the road or something?
Sorry, pulled over. You can't pull over any farther.
And I started explaining to the cop that I'm sorry, I was screwing up my radio. And he goes, you're going 55 and a 45. And he's like,
55 and a 45?
I was like, 55 and a 45? And first of all, I didn't think I was going that fast. I'm not saying I wasn't. I didn't think I was. But anyway, because I drive Woodward a lot that quarter, back and forth. And I see cops pulling people over all day long, all night long. It's incredible. That's got to be a huge source of revenue. So he says, do you have anything in your record? And I'm thinking, last 5 years? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
He comes back and goes, you've got 5 tickets.
What?
I said, I thought you meant
long
like,
ago.
I said, last 5 years. He goes, well, that's the insurance.
What
company.
Seems to be the officer problem?
Apparently, police don't look at it as the last 5 years. So he gave me a break.
A ticket?
He gave me a ticket for, I think it's obstructing traffic or something.
Yeah,
it's a no.
That's the old go-to.
Point. Yeah. Which, okay, they got their money and I didn't get bumped. But 55, 45. Anyway. Then I went to the doctor this morning. I had all these tests done the last time. I'm not big on physicals, but It's getting kind of ridiculous. So my cholesterol is low.
Ooh.
My blood pressure's good.
Ooh.
My chest x-ray was clean.
Hot.
And my PSA's okay.
PSA, what's that?
It's a cancer thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was always a little worrisome.
Put a finger in your butt.
Yes, yeah! I have a finger in my ass. Nice. Thank you. Did you have to ask that?
Yes, I think so.
You know what was the worst
part? I didn't think about it until you said cancer.
That was the worst part of that.
You enjoyed it? And now you're questioning everything?
No, I did not. I did not enjoy it at all. It was really awkward.
You asked if it was in yet.
You had to do this, Joe? Something to look forward to. Oh, it'll be 28? Yeah, God, I was thinking about it today because the doctor giving the results was a different doctor because my doctor's out. And so this guy was really young. He's like, people your age.
Are you sure he was a doctor?
People your
age. Just a guy that walked in.
I think he was a doctor, although he was wearing a hoodie.
What?
I wasn't sure
That's
who he was.
Not a doctor.
I thought he was going to have a broom or something when he walked
me too.
In.
You were violated.
No, he didn't do it. It was the last time he violated me. Anyway.
Hoodie just doesn't seem like.
I know exam room cool. Wear. I guess he goes, I'm filling in. I'm like, filling in? What's going on? And he starts reading my stuff right when he walked in. Like, oh, this doesn't seem very official to me, but he delivered good news, so how
check
bad could
I get? Check
up twice
and page me in the morning.
There's your doctor.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's fun.
I'm just
a great day.
Very lucky, I guess.
You have good genes, though. Both parents are, you know, they're still alive.
I'm worried about the combination of genes. Could I go to, like, 120 or something?
Oh, because they're good?
Two 97-year-old parents who are alive. Yeah. And by the way, seeing them at 97 is not encouraging to me about being 97. I'm not encouraged about that prospect at all.
Well, I mean, it's not
it looks
wonderful,
pretty,
but you're alive.
That's about it. I don't know. My dad actually is doing, he seems a lot happy. That's funny. My mom, who was always a happier, glass fuller, glass full kind of person, my dad more the glass half full kind of person, he seems happier now, and she seems, I don't know. What can you say? 97 is not easy.
Hi, mommy. Hi, mommy. Hi, mommy.
But she seems to be happy about things, you know, when you visit her.
Well, it's just hard.
When sneaking a smoke?
It's hard. It's hard when you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
And she knows. She's aware of that now. It's pretty tough. But she's hanging in there. I don't know. I'm convinced they have her on some good meds. They
so
must.
Ignorance is not bliss?
It's getting more blissful, I think. It was less blissful when she was losing her memory. And then it seems like she doesn't care so much now. I mean, she saw a picture of my dad, and she, oh, was I married to him? Oh. Which is really funny that she remembers the concept of being married, but not who she was married to. I mean, that's
kind of weird. You know, it's tough being a single mom, you know.
And she said, he's very handsome.
Oh, wow. Well.
That was pretty funny. It was a picture of my dad, like, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Well.
No, I know. It's just very funny.
It's kind of sweet.
It was kind of sweet. It was funny. She seemed amused. So anyway, what I was going to tell you was the glove part, you know, he's putting his gloves on. I'm like, oh, here we go. So, and he told me to remove my pants. I'm like, hey, boy. So I turned around just thinking, I know how this goes. And he's like, no. Turn around the other way. I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on now?
He wanted to lock eyes with you. what a tender doctor.
Yeah, he wanted to have a moment. No, he wanted me to cough.
Yeah. Well, the first time I had that exam, I honestly felt violated. It was a female doctor because I didn't know it was
hot.
Coming. I didn't know it was coming. She had, well, it was great. She had really thin, bony fingers. It's like a straw. But
a scale of 1 to 10, if you can reveal
what, like how attractive she was.
Yeah.
Well, she was older. Okay. I mean, she was thin.
I mean, how old are we talking? Cougar.
No, you know what? I'll pull a picture for her. No, not ugly, but not attractive, just non-sexual.
Okay, forget
Does that
it.
Make sense? Can a female
I
be
should
non-sexual?
Not have brought it up.
No.
I.
Let's just put it this way. Better than a male doctor doing that in that moment to me.
I have mixed feelings about that because a female, I don't know. It's all weird. There's nothing good about it.
So she had me on the table and did a testicular exam. And then honestly, it was about, and I was like, hey, this is pretty fun. This is okay.
Sweet.
And next thing you know, it was like, whoa, that was quite, I didn't know that was coming. And honestly, it was like glove off, trash out the door.
Ugh.
Clean yourself up.
Pretty rough.
I know. But that was a long time ago. I haven't had it done in ages because they changed the age you're supposed to be.
Well, it's never a bad thing to get it done. So I'm told.
It sounds like it. It sounds kind of hot. The guy locks eyes.
Yeah, it was a moment. It was really nice. Anyway, after a while, I figured, well, they would have called by now if something shitty was going on. But I was still nervous going in today. I just still thought,
really?
Something, I don't know. I just thought, well, who knows?
There's
a sub doctor there in a hoodie. I mean, how do I know they're going to call me?
The janitor's doing exam. We're a little light-handed today.
It was a little weak.
It's the holidays.
There was no white coat. He works at the...
Do you have a name tag?
No. He works in an emergency room, he said.
Likely story.
Yeah. He didn't seem to have a lot of information.
Did he pretend to look at your chart?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
He actually did. He read my EKG. He looked at my chest x-ray.
Probably upside down.
He said the same thing the other doctor did. I don't know if they're giving him prompts, but...
Well, he's been working there for a while, peeping in on other patients. He was a big help today. He came over and helped me move furniture.
What?
I did.
I had to move some furniture around.
I didn't know there was benefit received from this arrangement that I didn't participate in.
Yep, it was heavy. Well, you did you want to help instead?
I would say if help was available, if there was an exchange, I should have been part of it.
I asked Brandon on Friday, but my schedule didn't match with Brandon's schedule.
You're right.
So Brandon.
Well, no, it didn't.
Brandon scheduled some things in 2 seconds. Brandon, what was on your schedule?
Well, I was just working, and so I got out late. So I told him when I got out that I was going to help him out, and he said, no, I'm too tired.
Well, I wasn't ready.
Oh, he's just too tired.
I wasn't ready for you is what I think is what I said, right?
Something you weren't ready to move stuff?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Well, I took everything out. You saw the furniture.
There was some heavy.
I had to take it all apart and move papers around. And
oh, is this for the painting?
Yeah, I had to move everything around. Oh, but it was very helpful. And Jim leaves, and Charlotte goes to me. Daddy, I think you should get a belly full of tattoos, like Mr. Jim.
I don't have a belly full, but
why come you don't have a tattoo?
I love that drop.
She was probably rib.
She was probably very responsive to you because of all your tattoos. Like usually, she's really, really shy, but she was
end.
A little more open.
I can think of a drop that would work for Charlotte when she gets her first tattoo.
What? Oh,
I don't know. Is that even in your psyche anywhere?
Did I do good, Daddy?
Charlotte's first tattoo.
You know, it depends at what age.
You know
what? 16. She comes home with one.
Where's it at? What is it? And how big?
It's eight inches. It's a tramp stamp.
Oh, God. Well,
she doesn't know.
First butterfly.
Off, I'm going to laugh at her for it being way, like, you know, in the past. That's such an old
It's a dolphin.
So you'd make fun of her.
Yeah, I'm totally going to brag her. Really? You went with dolphin?
What if she has another one the next weekend?
I'd be a little pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be a little.
Really? The first one wouldn't? I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be hard.
If she got a dolphin first tattoo, I'd be upset.
I think this is a good question. I think we have some email coming.
But the
on
problem
this.
Is, she would need her mom to go with her, and my mom would be even more.
No, she's got a fake ID.
Now we know the real issue.
I think at 18, I'd let my kids. I mean, I'm not gonna. Once they're 18, if they want to get one, because my son, it already kind of bums me out. He draws on his arms all the time. I think he's trying to be like me. My daughter said something about liking tattoos. She'd be attracted to the bad guys.
Well, I mean, the tattoos now is kind of everyone, really.
Yeah.
I swear, I was so sure tattoos were going by the wayside after Rodman retired. And, you know, I just thought for sure this is a passing thing.
Rodman was the reason everybody's getting tattoos.
Well, wasn't he one of the first crazy tattoo people?
Probably.
I think he was. I think he was one of the big ones.
You pop me up.
Is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about?
How is there a Donald Sterling drop for everything?
Because he's so generic.
There's another one I can think of.
For that one?
Yeah.
For Sterling?
I mean, what if you saw color in Dennis Rodman, what would it be? And then what would... There's a couple things he may say.
Anything.
I don't know.
Okay, I want email. I want to email on the
and he had AIDS. Is he an example for children?
The tattoo your kid got that really bummed you out. How old were they? What was it? Where was it?
I'm glad that Charlotte likes gems because I showed Charlotte mine and all she said was,
ha! Gay!
Was Charlotte shy for you?
She's always shy for me. I have two kids, so I speak their language a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm goofy.
She's really bossy.
Oh, are you the child whisperer?
I think so. And animal. I'm good with animals.
I just remembered that there's some relatives in my family, I'm not going to be specific, who got tattoos, and their mother really, truly felt they had defaced their body. I think it was a religious thing.
Oh, yeah.
And this really... really upset her. I mean, for a long... she's probably still upset about it, actually.
Drew, I know my mom is still upset about him. My dad always asks me when I'm going to get him removed. I'm not getting all these removed. It's kind of late for that.
That's why they're not going to go away. They're kind of easy to get removed now, relatively.
Yeah, and I think part of it is religious with her. She's very Catholic, worried about me defacing my body.
If she only knew.
There's no devils or, you know,
it's funny.
Anything like that.
It's weird. I get used to them. I used to be a big deal when somebody got a tattoo. Now I don't even think about it. It's like
I don't notice them half the time.
And
he's very nice, very sexy, very nice body.
I wanted to mention, though, have you guys seen Bieber?
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet tattoo.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at that going, this guy has everything in the world, and he did that. Covered with stupid tattoos, if you ask me.
Kind of works for him, though. It's not like he's ever going to have to go get a real job.
No, it's not that. It's that, does he want to look at that every day? I guess he does.
I guess so.
And I guess, actually, he's got so much money, and he's probably such a, I don't know where he's at. I hear he's in a religious cult. I'm hearing that a lot. It sounds like something really weird is going on with him. And I noticed... there's a bit of religion in his tattoos, strangely. Oh,
yeah. Although I thought he covered a real religious one up.
Did he? I still see a cross on his chest.
Yeah, there's some.
There was a saying under his tit.
There's a couple things that look like penises, by the way. Did you see the penis-looking items on his chest?
His left titty that is there, a lion, Brandon. And his right titty is a wolf.
Yeah,
or
but
a
I
bear.
Think he's covered those up because he's totally full now.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, that looks so stupid to me.
Oh,
I mean.
Okay.
Go up.
I don't know. Do you guys think it looks cool?
No.
No, I wouldn't want that.
No, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't mind getting one
of my
chest.
But if I saw Bieber, I would say, dude, that's totally you.
I'd get one of my chest.
And high five him.
When's your neck tattoo, Bentley?
No, I'm not getting anything. I got to be able to cover anything up.
Yeah, somebody was just saying, who was this? Maybe you guys were around. Maybe it was here on Thursday. Somebody was talking about hiring policies, and they were saying, we... don't allow visible tattoos, but we may have to change that policy because it's becoming harder to hire people without visible tattoos. I'm trying to remember who the hell that was.
I know when I worked at Quicken Loans, everyone had tattoos.
Really?
Teardrops and shit?
Because I asked something about it. I asked something early on because I don't know. I like to roll up my sleeves. Always did even before the tattoos. It's just comfortable. Stop, Mark. I swear.
It's flipping amazing.
Makes you look like you're doing hard work.
Yes. Put a pencil behind my ear.
We're about to go behind the bell. With Screech, Dustin Diamond, and the book is Behind the Bell. Dustin, how you doing this morning?
I'm feeling top-notch, my friend.
All right.
Very good.
I guess your castmates are pretty upset with you. They wouldn't let you be part of the People magazine shoot over some of these allegations.
No, that's not true. That's internet rumor. The real story is that I've been traveling 47 weeks a year doing stand-up comedy, and, let's face it, I did 10 years of that show, taking, NBC stock rooms filled with publicity photos from ceiling to floor over, a decade with these guys. Why am I going to give up on a 2,200-seat paying audience to fly myself out to take a picture with a cast at Fortune 40?
You want to be on the cover of People magazine?
I mean, that's huge.
You know how many times I've been on the cover of People magazine in my career?
It generally is pretty good for a career, I would imagine.
In fact, Dustin, let me ask you this. It says the reason why you weren't on People, because the castmates apparently didn't want you there, but they said due to being uncomfortable with their one-time colleague over his, quote, post-show antics, which have included a leaked porn movie where the former child star raves of his fondness for, and then they put this as a quote, poop and multiple publicity stunts to raise money for his foreclosed upon home. Now, I miss the poop part of all this. What's the what's that all about?
Oh, that would be the Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. Silencer for everybody.
Oh, all right.
Wait, here's a question, though. You're about to play in front of 2,200 people when this People magazine thing is going on. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that was the date.
Okay, so why is it that you're having all these issues with your finances, with foreclosure, with your car being repoed, if you're playing in front of 2,200 people every night?
My car's never been repoed. I live in my house. It's fine. It's not in foreclosure. The problem is...
Well, you know, your house, you were afraid you were going to be in foreclosure, though, because you were selling the T-shirts. You told us that.
Wrong. I was actually at a gag order.
I get the tape.
Period. The guy was committing federal tax fraud is what was going on. My property tax payments were built into my monthly mortgage payments. The guy I was paying was pocketing
I can't
the
possibly
tax.
Argue with this.
Well, yeah, it's hard to argue with reality. It's pain. And
no, I don't understand. So you're saying you've not had any financial problems whatsoever?
Well, who can say that? We're in a recession. I mean, come on. Open your eyes, my friend. I have also never gotten into deals. Never, you know, been found hooked on crack in a shack.
Nobody's saying you've been found hooked on crack. It just seemed that you were having some financial issues. You told us you spent, 40 minutes
forever
on these airwaves talking about your financial issues.
No, talking about how I had the problems going on with the house. But everyone took it from the internet and made it, you know, like it was I was destitute and everything else, which is not true.
I thought you had a land contract you couldn't pay for some reason.
No, I had a land contract where the guy was pocketing the property tax money. But fortunately, that none of that is in my book, Behind the Bell.
Yeah. Now, talking about your book, somebody's wrote us an email, and they said they actually ended up seeing your stand-up act in Ann Arbor at the Comedy Showcase, and they said that you spent the night bad-mouthing the cast of Saved by the Bell, and specifically bad-mouthing Mark Paul Gosselaar, who you claimed was gay and loved performing on other men, although you used it in a much more graphic sense. I find it interesting in the book he doesn't say anything like that about Zach. Now it's a steroid story. Can you comment on that?
No, like stand-up comedy, you can make a joke about Zach because Zach is a fictitious character. I never say anything about Mark Paul in my act. You should see my act sometime. I think you'd enjoy it.
Well, I don't know. Well, so are you playing in front of 2,200 people regularly? Or I mean, what is your typical crowd for stand-up?
No, I don't have my my ticket counter, you know, with me all the time. But I know that most of my shows are sold out. Most of my crowds love what I'm doing.
What arenas are you playing? Like when you play Detroit, where do you play?
Arenas, I play theaters and colleges, man. Arenas are a bit above my level.
Well, okay, what venue would you play if you were playing in Detroit?
What
venue would you play if you prefer that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'd have to talk to my agent. See, that's what I got people for.
Yeah. Where did you play last time you were here?
Well, I'm actually going to be out there soon giving a lecture series in Flint, Michigan, like within under a week.
Jeez. What's where are you playing that, though? Or where's the series?
Rod.
Huh?
Where? What?
I'm asking my agent, my friend.
Oh,
okay.
I'm just giving a lecture series on the industry and acting. It's a very quaint thing.
Let me ask you about this. Gosselaar is talking with Newsweek in respects to your book. Said, what's he going to say? We were banging groupies at 14. I can't wait to read his book because I don't have a memory of a lot of the shows. Maybe it was because I was doing lines off an audience member's asses. I'm sure he's going to write something crazy like that. And he's been quite outspoken, pretty much taking a lot of shots at you. Any comment on that?
I have no knowledge of that. That's not in the book. I think people should probably read the book that I wrote instead of taking excerpts and things that are not true. Wikipedia, Internet Movie Database, all these type of things, they're not governed by anybody. I mean, you can go home. I could go home and update you
on
Wikipedia.
All right. How about Tiffany Amber Thiessen? What was going on with her? It seems to be suggested that she was maybe getting it on to try and weasel her way into 90210. Now, that's in the book.
I'm taking that as a no.
I read a lot of the book. You said that she and Brian Austin Green had something going on, and she dumped him when she got a 90210.
Yeah, those are facts.
Right, that's in the book.
Yes.
So are you suggesting that she was getting it on with people to further her career?
I just think the fact facts, man. I state what I was there for and what I saw. In fact, I wrote this book out of pressure for the fans because these are the questions that I get asked over 24 years from everybody. You know, what, you know, who was sleeping with who? What was going on with who? What was it like being 12 years old at the Playboy Mansion? What was this? What was that? You know, who was banging Kelly? Who was banging Lisa?
Okay, let's try this one. What about Emmanuel Lewis at Michael Jackson's house? Did he say something about being put in the same room with Bubbles and having to end up in Bubbles' cage because he was afraid because Bubbles is a little bit bigger than him? Is that in the book and true?
I don't think that's in the book, but I did work with Emmanuel, and Emmanuel did tell me a story that was along those lines.
You don't think that's in the book?
Oh, dude, I don't remember, man.
Where do you think I got that?
I write the book yesterday and then say, hey, can I do some radio?
But you're getting so specific about things being not in the book or in the book. That was in the book. Where do you think I would find that out?
I don't know. You might know Emmanuel.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's not real likely, but whatever.
So apparently, if it's in the book, it's... Well, I'll read it when we're done with you. How's that?
I do appreciate the very good picture you got in there, by the way, of Tiffany Amber, because that's a nice picture you chose there, by the way. She's looking super, super smoking hot in that picture.
My book doesn't have pictures in it.
Yes.
Really?
It's got color photos in it. You know that.
No, it doesn't.
Have you seen your book?
I'm holding my book.
I'm holding it, too.
Yeah, we both have books, and there are pictures in it.
A big color section of pictures. They're all color photographs. What are you talking about?
What do you have such a hard-on about? What is your problem?
It's Dustin. It starts on page 84.
My book. I'm looking at my book. There's no pictures.
I'm looking at your book. Are these pictures in his book? Is this his book, Behind the Bell?
Nice color photos.
Go to page 84. It starts on 84. The last sentence of page 83, it made it hard for the lighting camera guys to set up their shots and get their angles. I turn the page, which would be 84.
Okay, see, okay, now we're flipping.
Oh, okay.
You see that?
I understand. I didn't pick these photos out. I wrote the book. The
Well, why are you accusing us of looking at a picture that's not in the book then? You're being a complete asshole. What is your problem?
Dustin?
Oh, God, he's gone.
He's
gone.
Oh. What an idiot.
Don't call here again, asshole.
There's no pictures in the book.
What a jackass.
Can you imagine making a statement like that? There's no pictures in my book.
There's not one thing we said that isn't in the book.
I know it. And everything everybody...
Well, his car being repoed is not in the book, but...
He is beyond confrontational. Right out of the gate.
My friend?
Yeah, right out of the gate. My friend, Rod.
Two minutes into that phone call.
Oh, is this him?
Try it. Pick it up. See.
Is it a New York number?
Let them know they're on the air.
Is it a 212?
Go ahead and answer, Mark.
Yeah.
But right out of the gate,
someone there.
You guys, I answer the hotline, and it's back in the studio where he is. Can you tell Drew and Mike to get to the book immediately, or we are going to disconnect this call?
We're talking about the book.
I thought.
And people's response to the book, which is interesting. I mean, his castmates are coming out to talk about the book.
Jeez. And he suggests that his castmates are referring to things that aren't in the book, or they're making things up, or they're responding to some, you know, two lines in the book. Or, you know, he's such a jackass.
Well, what do we expect? This Dustin Diamond. Every time we talk with him, we end up in a war like this.
He can't go on People Magazine because he's playing a 2,200-seat venue, arena, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, frankly. Has he ever played a 2,200-seat venue for stand-up comedy? I don't buy that.
At the bowling alley.
Not only that, there's several people that have... they actually are embarrassed that they ended up going to a show, but they said when they did, he was just absolutely not funny at all.
I didn't know exactly how the
did you enjoy it,
but I kind of thought it would end like that anyway.
It always does.
You knew that would be the tone of it.
Oh,
he's always
Mark,
a jackass.
Absolutely, every time we talk with him, it's combative, argumentative. We always end up bumping heads with.
He's
this
ripping
dork.
These people in the book. He's absolutely,
which is why they're pissed.
He spares no one.
And you can't win. You bring something up, he accuses you of not reading his book. If you read my book, my friends, what's in there, and blah, 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 blah. And then you say, okay, this is in the book. And he goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I wrote that. I don't know exactly what's in there.
I just state the facts.
I can't remember.
Okay, so do you think he had, I mean, he has another writer on this book.
Oh, clearly. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
So obviously, this guy wrote a lot of it, and Dustin
never bothered to read his own book.
A few stories.
This Emmanuel Lewis story was a very funny story. He was saying that, and he said, by the way, that he got this from Emmanuel Lewis. That Emmanuel Lewis told him.
You got this from Emmanuel Lewis. Your buddies with him.
Yeah, I talked to him. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you could have talked to him.
Where in the hell would I get a story like that? Emmanuel Lewis allegedly, according to the book, told him that Michael Jackson thought it was really funny because Emmanuel was so small. To put him in this gymnasium room where Bubbles had free reign and would, you know, there were all these ropes and stuff. And so he'd, like, lock the door, put Emmanuel in there, and Emmanuel would be eventually freaking out because Bubbles was bigger than him.
Yeah.
And so Emmanuel would go in Bubbles' cage for safety.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a funny story.
Well, yeah, it's a very
funny
story.
If it was true.
And those damn chimpanzees can tear you limb from limb. There's plenty of stories
absolutely.
To support that. So I don't blame him.
But if he's not going to expand on anything in the book or just say, well, yeah, it's in the book. And it's a fact, and take it for what it is.
Well, clearly somebody else wrote the book, and he probably read it after they wrote it, and now he's forgotten half the stuff in it. And
he doesn't even have a copy of it.
But he's such a self-righteous jerk, though. I mean,
to not realize that there's photographs in his own book. I mean, look at that alone.
I just trade them.
I mean, how stupid is that? And he wanted to say he didn't pick those either. Somebody else put that together. Oh my God!
I don't think he had much to do with.
By the way, he's got a pretty big font size going in the book too.
That's the first thing I said when I gave you the book.
Yeah, double spacing.
Yeah, cool. It's a double space with a gigundous font, and that brings it out at about 310 pages. Nice.
I can't believe he hangs up too. You finally call him. Yeah. You know, basically call him out for being a jackass or an a-hole or whatever I called him, and he just hangs
Well, he's
up.
Losing the argument. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like to lose an argument.
Well, there, I don't know what the argument is that we didn't read the book. I know I read the book. I know I'm looking at pictures in the book. I know where I got the story.
Yeah. Well,
he's such an ass.
He is an ass. He was an ass when he came on and then spent like half the morning complaining and carrying on about his stupid land contract mortgage and dumb t-shirts and trying to get us to help him.
And he wanted to call the mortgage broker on the air and nail this guy. And he said, you know, he'd gotten some other show. They'd called the guy and threatened him and all this. And
I know.
Yeah, we got to call this guy. Yeah, right. We're really worried about your mortgage broker who surely, you know, he said he promised him all these things, and no, he won't return my call, so we got to call him and straighten him out and call him out. Well, obviously, he looked at Dustin's credit. His credit sucks.
Oh, of course
and the guy,
it does.
Rather than, you know, return his call and basically tell him, hey, your credit sucks, I don't want to do this, he just didn't return his call.
No.
So, you can't cross Dustin Diamond!
Oh, man. Well, look at, though. No wonder they didn't want him on the cover of People magazine. No, nobody wants to be near this guy because he's nothing but a walking tornado of BS. A guy, Brian just wrote it.
His castmates didn't want him on People magazine. It wasn't because he had a gig at a 2,200 seat arena.
They didn't want him.
And the point the point about his finances too is, hey, who doesn't have a recession? Of course, who doesn't have financial problems? Well, the point was, after he was on Saved by the Bell all these years as a child actor, you'd think the guy would have put away a pretty decent sum of money, especially if he's now playing 2,200 seat arenas.
Oh yeah. Well, he goes on to kind of addresses some of that by saying that parents that are in charge of money and the way TV contracts are done, they sign you at a very small amount of money, and then they do three-year deals so that when the show becomes huge, you're still getting screwed. And then as time goes on, your parents mismanage the money or lock it away or what have you. And so he implies he's been screwed financially from the very beginning.
But he's now, what is he, 32 years old?
Something like that.
He's had a career for 10 years. He claims, you know, he's got this successful stand-up career.
So much for that. In fact, Brian addresses that. He said he saw him at Portofino's in Wyandotte. He probably did a percentage of the door, which is his mistake, because there were, quote, 35 people there.
Ouch.
35 people, according to Brian, at that gig.
I think we got somebody on the line who saw his stand-up. Are you still there?
Yes.
Hey, who's this?
This is John.
Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, man, how you doing, John?
Not too bad. We saw Dustin Diamond in East Lansing. We got free tickets, and it was at some cafeteria being put on by the Jewish community.
No.
Oh, it was terrible. There couldn't have been 100 people in there.
Uh-oh.
Did he rip his castmates, though? Did he talk about them in unflattering terms?
Yeah, he was graphic. He definitely, for someone who hates Saved by the Bell like he supposedly does, he had to reference them a lot. He was saying, up yours, Zach, and the other guy, A.C. Slater. He was making fun of them.
Well, see,
it got so quiet in there at one point, someone yelled, you suck, and that that was the funniest part of the whole show.
And did he then go after the person?
He did. He made some comment, but by then everyone of the 100, at least 50 of them had walked out and left. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Well, that's like Jan writes that when her and her boyfriend saw him in Ann Arbor, she said also he was very graphic. Now, see, regarding a Gosser and said that he loved, you know, S word and D word and all that. And very graphic and very disgusting about his castmates. Now, when we confronted him with that, he would say, oh, I was referring to his character. I wasn't talking about him personally.
That's not the impression the people at the show get.
Absolutely not.
The bottom line is, it's really pathetic and embarrassing that this guy is on this show, and he's the longest running person in the show, along with Mr. Belding.
Mm-hmm.
They were on there for all, or there are three versions of the show. Because there's the college years, and then I think there was one more incarnation. I don't know if it made it anywhere. But, you know, he finishes with this show. He's doing the stand-up on his rider. He insists that I'm to be promoted as Dustin Diamond, not Screech. And then what does he talk about in the show? Nothing but Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Nothing but crappy things.
You know, does the whole thing, recreates half the lines, the whole bit.
And he thinks he's going to get attention, you know, by telling you all these horrific things about Gosselaar and Mario Lopez and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, which
she screwed her way through her career.
You read it. He implies that she's a slut in this book, and she sleeps her way
through her career and everything else. She's a pincushion.
Well,
she looks like a sea urchin on any Saturday night.
I don't know. I'm wondering what questions.
My own self up.
What questions would he answer in this book? Because it sounds to me like all of a sudden he's got some legal concerns.
Well, if you know,
because the Tiffany Amber Thiessen thing. Clearly, he suggested that.
Oh,
there's no question.
No question at all.
But when asked about it, he says, did you read the book?
Yeah.
Did you read the...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, it pisses me off, too, that I did read
a lot of
this
book.
What a waste
of
time.
Oh, yeah. Stupid book. Yeah, we normally keep all of our books, not that one. Stupid.
Do not buy his book.
No, it's dumb. Jeremiah Chips.
He's not kidding anybody.
He said that he has seen Dennis, Mr. Belding, and has seen his speeches. We interviewed him.
I wonder how his karaoke CD's doing.
Yeah.
Dennis is a nice guy.
He said he draws about 2,000 people. He has also seen
Dennis
Dustin
does?
Diamond. Yeah.
Really?
Yep, he's also seen Dustin Diamond, and at most, he pulls in 100 on a good night. By the time he's done, there's generally about 15 or 20 people left, so people routinely walk out of his stupid shows.
Yeah, boy.
It's just lame.
I'm surprised
that
Belding draws that many people. That's
I know.
That's pretty amazing. He's a nice
guy. Motivational speaker. Hey, come on.
In fact, he won't even rip Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
He'll only say, oh, I love all the kids. He kind of acts as if he's sort of really their principal in real life.
And then
he has their best interest in mind.
Yeah.
And he's kind of protective about his kids, you know, who are now in their 30s.
So stupid.
Yeah. But that karaoke CD, what is that? Is it like doing karaoke with Mr. Belding or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't imagine whose idea that was and who thought that would,
I know, would
do anything. He couldn't plug that enough when we were talking to him.
I know it. In fact, Dennis Haskins, his comments on this book, he just says, I don't want to comment on what Dustin said. Haskins told Radar Online at Dimple's Karaoke Bar. There he was. He was speaking from a karaoke bar in Burbank on a Thursday night.
Check, please.
You bet. Quote, I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. I loved all those kids, and I still do. So Dennis is just sidestepping the whole thing so he doesn't end up pissed off.
Let's try Lucas. You're on the riff, Lucas.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Not bad, thanks.
I got a great story for you. It's about 2005. I was out in East Lansing partying out there. And I get a call from this girl I used to hang out with. She's in Ann Arbor, and she goes, hey, I'm hanging out. You'll never guess. I'm hanging out with Screech. You got to get out here. He wants some coke.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, this is kind of third person, so I've got to be a little careful about suggesting that we know this to be true, or but she's alleging that she was buying cocaine for Screech, quote-unquote. Wait, was she buying it for the character or for Dustin Diamond?
She gives the phone to Dustin, and I talk to him.
Really?
You actually talk to him?
He goes, yeah, my friend Kim here tells you you're a good person. Come on out. You got to hang out with us and all this. I don't really dabble in that kind of stuff, but I wanted to try to get out there because it would be a great story to tell the grandkids.
Did it sound like him?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I knew it was him for sure.
And how did he get mixed up? Well, first of all, is the chick that he was with, is she hot?
Oh yeah, yeah.
She is. Okay.
Yeah, right.
How did he get mixed up with her?
Well, I guess he's doing a show at that comedy showcase in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they just kind of hooked up with him after the show. There was maybe four or five
That's the show that Jan wrote about that I've been talking about, where he attacked Gosselaar, talking about him, you know, being a homo and all that stuff that he does and all this really graphic, heavy
stuff.
That
was the character.
Yeah, that was the character. Of course, I confront him about it. But, yeah, that's the show where she said it was so totally lame and so many people were walking out.
Okay, so what ends up happening? Did you go, by the way? Did you go and meet him?
No, I couldn't. I mean, I was tied up. I was already drinking. I was out in East Lansing. But, man, I would have killed to try to get a hold of him.
Did you find out from this chick whatever happened with, did she put out for him, or did he party with her and her friends?
I don't think so. I know they partied for a while. They had an apartment. I was living in the same apartment complex as them. It was on South U and Forest. And I guess they just kind of hit the bars for the night, ended up back there drinking at her place, and he bailed.
Well, I bet he tried everything in his power, including using every Saved by the Bell story you could possibly think of.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, as far as this cocaine thing, I want to be very careful about suggesting that
we don't
know that to be true. We don't.
No, we have no idea.
Something he heard essentially secondhand. Although he says he talked to Screech. Is this Bob?
Yeah, this is Rob.
Rob, go ahead. You're on the riff.
Yeah. Hey, Drew, Mike.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just called to say Dustin Diamond, he was on TMZ about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Playing a pizza joint. There's about 10 people in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Well,
They
reference a gig at a pizza joint in here. That's where the writer is from. In fact, this guy says... He says he sold a lot of liquor, but I think this venue only held 50 or 100 people. So did he finish the show there? I mean, was the place empty, or was he supposed to play for 10 or 20 people?
It wasn't on that long. They were just ripping on him about playing a pizza joint and how pathetic it was.
Okay.
It's pathetic, all right.
According to this, he sold out the 50-seat All-Stars Comedy Club at Listrani's Italian restaurant in Arlington, Virginia, August the 1st and 2nd, and the crowd loved him, manager Kevin Lee told Radar Online. Now, I don't know what his motivation is to tell Radar Online the crowd loved him, and why, if he's so good and so lovable, why is he playing a 50-seat venue?
Yeah.
How many comedy clubs seat 50 people? Comedy club?
I don't know of any. It just sounds like a tiny little restaurant. And I'm guessing probably most of the people that are with it end up walking out. I suppose the 10 or 15, 20 that are left are such diehard fans that no matter what he does or says, they think it's great.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say you guys rock, and Drew, that was sweet when you were calling Dustin an ass.
Well, I don't know if I've been that pissed at somebody. It's just for him to keep saying you didn't read the book or you're wrong. I mean, how many times can you be told you're wrong when you eventually start going, God, am I nuts? I mean,
there's no pictures in his book. And there's a big color picture section is just mindlessly stupid.
That was awesome. But I went to Western Michigan, and he ended up, I guess, showing up there and doing his 2,200 people thing, but there was only 20 people there.
See, there you go. That's exactly like Jeremiah's talking about. What was the place he went to?
What was the venue?
The venue was like it was the cafeteria, but it wasn't even like the main cafeteria.
That's the second time we've heard about the cafeteria. This guy. So he's doing his show in little dinettes and cafeteria. It looks like he likes to go to places where people, little small places where people eat.
Yeah, but he didn't even, we didn't even pay for the tickets. Me and like five of my buddies just showed up and we said, oh, Dustin Diamond.
Whoa, watch language. Does he reference a sex tape in the book? Because I'm trying to... I don't think he did.
I didn't run into it. Yeah. No. Appendix B in the back, it's a quick one. It says, to all the chicks I banged before, an open letter. Dear ladies.
Ladies.
It starts off with dear ladies.
Dear ladies.
No doubt many of you were just filthy. You'd hook up with me, with my buddies, or any dude you thought might advance your career. You just didn't care. But there were also those of you who suffered full mental breakdowns as a result of the depraved sexual S-word we did together in my younger, dumber days. Look, those are crazy times. I did a lot of stupid stuff back then. There are a lot of things I did as a young man that I'm not proud of, and if I go back, I would change them. Please allow me to explain in all modesty that a lot of the S I did was in an effort to make memories and simply live in the moment. I spent my formative years working full-time in an industry that consumed any chance I had at a normal childhood. With my pubescent hormones raging, many, perhaps most, of my decisions were guided by my monster and dirty thoughts. Dirty, dirty thoughts. Now as a grown man, I've had time to reflect on some of my more immature sexual escapades, and I regret many of them. Not for the women I was with, but more for my actions leading up to and during our bang sessions, and for I conducted myself afterward.
Bang sessions? Oh, please. It's not a session if it's with that jerk.
It certainly isn't. It would be a split second. With heartfelt sincerity deepened by years of more worldly experiences and a search for substantial meaning and wisdom in my life, I offer my apologies to anyone I filthed up back in the day. To anyone I filthed up. I was a willing victim of the whirlwind of Hollywood, and I tried my hot damnedest to make the most of it. Don't get me wrong, there were a lot of great moments, too. I've reflected upon all of them. Unfortunately, remembering so many other moments, I just have to shake my head and say, D-Man, what were you thinking?
That's kind of a
D-Man,
third person.
What were you thinking?
Kind of a third person,
no,
I believe.
No question.
No woman would want to have sex with that loser.
So for every one of you I ever hurt, unless you begged me to hurt you because that's what you were into. Come on! Stop it! From the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. Sincerely yours, Dustin. P.S. Call me.
Did you enjoy it?
What an ass. Call
me. Mackenzie finds that funny.
What an idiot.
You know, when I first sort of turned against him, because I never knew that much about him, Saved by the Bell was out of my radar.
He's back in the garbage.
No.
Yes.
No.
No. Lindo. No. Didn't you, at least I sort of missed Saved by the Bell because I wasn't in high school.
The wrong age. I missed it. I didn't.
Well, I've been forced to learn an awful lot about the show. Which
I know it.
Really, what a waste of space in my life.
No, it doesn't die. It's one of those things that just is around forever.
Yeah. And there's no fighting the fact that it had a big following. A lot of people have watched the show and know a lot about it. But when I first really was introduced to this guy, and I quickly thought not much of him, was when he was in Celebrity Boxing against Horshack. What's it, Ron Palilla?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And remember, he was like going, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And Horshack was clearly scared to death of him and is just a little wimpy guy, had no punch whatsoever. And Dustin looked like he really wanted to smush him, I mean, really crush him. And I would think most people in Celebrity Boxing would go, well, you know, I got to win, it's Horshack. But they wouldn't just try and pummel him and knock him down and really hurt the guy. But he looked like he really wanted to just humiliate him and, you know, be the hot shot, Mr. Big Tough Guy. Because remember, he's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is claim to fame. It doesn't surprise me, too, that he would have approached that fight like that, you know? But, by the way, regarding People Magazine...
Yeah. Who would want to be in People Magazine? Yeah. Why are we even talking about it?
Somebody...
The letters are the only good thing.
They wrote us an email to say that they searched all the archives of People Magazine to see if, in fact, he'd ever been on the cover. And all that comes up in the search all the way through all the archives is Dustin Hoffman. The only thing out there is the reunion cover without him. That's it. So apparently never has he or they been on the cover of that.